44. They sat at a sticky table in a corner of the motorway cafe. The place smelt of stale food, and the fluorescent lighting lent everyone the pallor of zombies. A young girl served customers behind the counter. Katie half expected to see a parallel version of herself walk out and start collecting cups. There were just a few junctions south of Newton Green. Katie didn't dare risk returning to her own place of work. For a start, Steve knew where that was. He could come after her. Once, that might have sounded paranoid. Not anymore. This cafe was about a third full, the other tables occupied by a mixture of travellers, a couple of young labourers tucking into bacon botties and studying their mobiles, a group of pensioners chatting over tea, a young mum with a toddler in a high chair. Customers came and went here with more regularity than in a high street cafe. A constant stream of strangers. That was what Katie was counting on. Somewhere safe, anonymous, well-populated. So she could have some time to think. To recalibrate. She had bought activity books and colouring pens from the shop, plus some ibuprofen and plasters for her swollen nose. Then she had fetched milkshakes and chocolate cake and settled the children at a quiet table in the corner. For now, they seemed to accept the situation. Children did. They were able to adapt, to just get on with the moment in hand. Of course, they still had questions, which Katie had attempted to field as best she could. Why did we run away? What happened to Uncle Steve? Wasn't he a policeman? Are we going to jail? She had told them that Steve was a bad man, even though he was dressed as a policeman. They had to run away until the good police could sort things out.
Like the Terminator? Sam had asked. He pretended to be a policeman, but he wasn't. He pretended to be John Connor's mom too, and put a spike through his dad's eye.
Something like that, Katie had said, and then told him not to talk about spikes through eyes in front of his sister, and wondered at which friend's house he had seen Terminator 2. While they ate their cake and slurped milkshakes, she texted the school to say that Sam and Gracie were sick and wouldn't be in today. And then she texted Louise.
Are you okay?
No, Steve broke up with me last night.
Good.
Thanks.
Steve is dangerous. He came to my house and attacked me this morning.
Is this a joke?
No joke.
What the fuck?
Are you at home?
Lucy's.
Lucy was Lou's oldest friend. Sensible, mumsy, the complete opposite of Lou. Katie felt relief wash through her.
Can you stay there tonight?
Suppose.
Steve doesn't know where Lucy lives?
No.
If he calls, don't answer. Don't tell him where you are.
Scaring me.
Good. Promise you won't speak to him.
Promise.
Katie just hoped she would keep her promise. She took a sip of coffee. Alice was helping Gracie colour a trio of Disney princesses. Sam doodled superheroes while picking at a piece of chocolate cake with his fingers, hardly any of the crumbs making it to his mouth. Despite what she had told them, she didn't know if she could call the good police. What if they didn't believe her? Whatever else he was involved in, Steve was still one of their own. They would take his word over hers.
She couldn't go home. Couldn't call her mother.
It struck her that she really didn't have any other people she could turn to. No friends. Not even any casual acquaintances. She was always so busy working, looking after the children. Getting by. She had no time left to form relationships. Plus, she wasn't built for emergencies. She was a creature of routine. She didn't have a panic protocol. Fran did. Fran had always been the rebel, the one who skirted trouble, headstrong, impulsive. She had had the hardest time from their mum, perhaps because they were so alike. Both always sure they were right. Quick to anger, slow to forgive. Katie could still remember the blazing rows, the slammed doors and screaming. Dad trying to play peacemaker between his favourite daughter and his wife. Yet she also remembered Fran defending her when their mother had had too much to drink. And when some older boys once gathered around to torment her on her way home from school, Fran had waded in with a hockey stick, laying into the boys with such ferocity that Katie had to beg her to stop.
Where are you, Fran? What the hell would you do to get out of this mess?
Mom?
She looked up. Sam wriggled on his seat.
I need the toilet.
Okay.
Katie glanced at Alice and Gracie.
Can you go on your own?
He rolled his eyes.
Of course, I'm 10.
Well, be quick. Don't talk to any strange men, I know.
He slipped from the table. Katie immediately felt anxiety kick in. The toilets were only just along the corridor, but what if someone snatched him? Suddenly, everything and everyone around her seemed suspicious, full of threat. Other people, she thought. They were everywhere. And you never knew which ones were dangerous. She realized that Alice was watching her warily.
Are we running away again?
She asked.
What? No. We're just working out what to do next. That's what Fran used to say. Right.
What else did Fran say?
That we just had to get far enough away and we would be safe.
And were you?
For a while.
Alice looked over at Gracie, who was still intent on Rapunzel, Jasmine, and Belle. She lowered her voice.
Then a bad man came.
Katie felt herself tense.
When was this? A long time ago. Fran thinks I was asleep, but I woke up. He came to the house at night. They had a fight, and Fran got rid of him.
How do you mean?
Her voice dropped to a whisper.
I crept downstairs and saw her put him in the boot of the car. The old one she kept locked in the garage.
Katie swallowed.
Then what happened?
I went back to bed and pretended to be asleep. Fran came up and said we had to leave. We drove the car to a hotel a long way away. Fran went out for a bit. The next day the car was gone.
Katie thought about the boys and the hockey stick. How far Fran would go to protect those she loved. But she wasn't Fran. So what should Katie do? And then she knew. There was really no choice.
No more running.
She reached out and took Alice's hand.
We're going to sort this mess out.
She picked up her phone.